Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Describe these jeans for us.
Well, are you wearing a little mom bit jeans? Of an optical illusion. Oh,
let me see the shot.
No, it's a terrible shot. And there's somebody behind me.
You appear to be butt cracking.
No, there's somebody behind me that also has jeans on. It made me look like I weigh 350 pounds.
Right.
Thanks, Chelsea. I appreciate the support.
That is a fascinating optical illusion because there are only two legs.
Yes, yes.
But there are also, it looks like your pants are hanging way low.
Okay. All right. Great. Thanks,
Nige. Pants on the ground. Pants on the ground.
This is General George Washington, and you're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
We are live from Chatter on the corner of Wisconsin Avenue Northwest and Jennifer Street Northwest. We're in the capital of the United States of America. We are open to serve you. Full-service restaurant, open for breakfast when we do this show, open for lunch and dinner and late night all the time. We're looking to make money. We're for-profit and we're full-service. So we thank the people that are in here. Gary Braun is with us, Chris Saliza, Michael Kornheiser. Nigel will run the board, do the news. Ann Hornaday will join us. Chuck Todd will make picks. You have your finger
I
up
just
in the
want
air.
To say, in reference to that show open, Barry Zwerluga, who joins us here occasionally and is great on all matters sports related, is only better when pushed outside of his comfort zone, like talking license plates or talking about his pants hanging low.
Michael showed me that picture this morning. He does look like he weighs about 4 pounds.
Yeah, it's funny. Yeah. So, which
and
he
Barry's
doesn't.
A slim dude.
Barry's a fit guy. So, more uncomfortable Barry.
That's good.
I want on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
If I'm not mistaken, December 7th is the day that will live in infamy forever. 76 years ago, 1941, the attack on Pearl Harbor and the response by the President of the United States, Franklin Delano Roosevelt at the time.
Can I share a quick story about that?
Well, you weren't alive, because I was not,
but when we worked at the radio station, I asked a couple of interns, because you know I'm a big history guy, I said, all right, do you know what happened this day?
No.
And one guy said, was it something big with the Eagles that day? I said, all right, get out of here.
Eagles?
Yeah, exactly. And then the other guy said, wait a minute, is that the day those guys attacked the beach?
Nailed it.
I said, I'll give you partial credit, because it was near the water. What guys? He said, the Koreans? I said, all right, get out of here.
Yeah, it's great that people teach history. It's really great. So I'm going to go off book here and talk about something that happened last night, and I'm going to reach out to Littles now. And I haven't done this enough. I have not reached out to the community of Littles, who are large and diffuse and smart and who love this show, and I need your help. We had a dinner last night. We had an owner's dinner of Chatter at the Palm last night, because you don't want to have an owner's meeting sitting in your own restaurant and everybody works
everyone
there.
Gets nervous.
Yeah, what are they doing? You know, so, and I ended up
talking about it on the radio.
As Alan said to me, the socialite says to me in the middle of the, says to everybody at the table, you know, I would pay for this, but Tony has insisted on paying for the dinner. And that was, of course, news to me. And I just took out a credit card and I paid for the dinner. And it was pricey. You can buy 8 dinners at Chatter, good dinners at Chatter, for the price of this dinner. At the Palm, which is, it's fine. That is the cost of doing business. That's a phrase that I use a lot lately as I continue to spend a lot of my children's inheritance. We sit there. There's Gary Williams. There's Alan Bubis. There's Ron Bubis. There's myself. And by the way, a woman who was having dinner there named Carol Stewart. Carol Stewart, who she and her husband listened to the show all the time. She saw us and she sent doers to the socialite.
Wow.
To the socialite.
It's one less drink for you to pay for.
Nothing to the rest of us, just to the socialite. You know, so, I mean, I thought that was good. I met her afterwards. I said, that's very kind of you. And she was thrilled and made me talk to her husband, you know, called her husband, and we chatted and so on and so forth. And I'm always happy to meet people who like this show. I'm always happy. And now I need their help. And I'm just going to sketch this out. We have good food here at Chatter. We have good drinks. We have a good atmosphere. People who, when they get here, like it here. I like it here. I'm glad I have done this. We have renovated. We still have to do the men's bathroom, but we have renovated. We look good. It feels good to be here. We got to get more people in here. I mean, it's as simple as that. We have to get more people in here. I am not a marketer. I'm not a restaurateur.
Marketer.
I don't know how to do it. And I think a lot of Littles would have ideas. I mean, what do you do? I didn't sleep at all last night. I really didn't for a variety of reasons. I did not sleep. And one of the things I was thinking about is what is that called? GoFundMe?
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, if I said to people, everybody who likes this show, send me $2. And that's insane. I mean, that's just totally insane. Well, and now I don't want people to start sending $2 in, but I'm thinking
you need to
get people in here, spend money, have a good time, make money. And I'm not a marketer. So we were talking about, well, how do we do it? What type of advertising do we do? And three different things came up. The ability to advertise on radio, to go back to the station where I worked, and we worked for so many years, mm-hmm. 980, to go there. But I said, you know what? If I do that, I only want to be on with Kevin and Zabin. That's it. I want morning drive, and I want afternoon drive. And you know what? There are certain hours I don't want, because I don't want to get in the car with people who are coming in down 270, because they're going home out 270.
Yep.
They're not going to stop here. I got to figure out the time when people are in their cars, because what you want to do, in essence, it seems to me, and jump in whenever you want, because I don't mind this, is carpet bomb a 3 to 5 mile radius around your restaurant and let them know that you're here and you're good, because they can walk in or drive in and it's close. It's an impulse situation for them. So I want Kevin Sheehan, I want Steve Zabin, Gary said the same thing, but I want to be very targeted on the times, and I'm not a marketer, and I don't know how to do that. I want to take an ad out in the Northwest Current. The Northwest Current is delivered for free in that area, 3 to 5 miles around, mm-hmm. and take an ad out. And Gary says, nobody reads newspapers anymore. And I said, well, it comes to the house, it's free. And
do
if you
flip through yours, or does it go right to the recycle bin?
I don't usually. But
people read these local newspapers.
Yeah, but if you put the ad top right, that's where you want to be, top right. And the copy on the ad is going to be, all your pals are here, come home to Chatter. That's what I want to do. Now, there is some resistance about that. The other thing is a flyer, just to send out a mailer with a picture of us, with a picture of, I don't know. I'm even looking at people out here who are here or coming in, because they like
asleep.
The show.
Most of them are asleep by now. But.
You know, I don't know how to do it. I know the product is good, and I know people will like it, and I just don't really know how to do it.
Was there any discussion of, and I cringe to say this.
Do I offer something free?
I was going to say coupon. Like
those
Valpacks, you know, free appetizer or something.
Well, I don't
$20.
Know, but I mean, I was thinking of, Alan said, a free round of drinks with dinner. Not just a free round of drinks, you got to have dinner.
Free round of drinks, that's pretty generous.
Yes, but with dinner. And I looked at Alan, I said, that seems like a lot. And he goes, well, if they stay, it's not that much. I mean, a free beer to walk in. What I don't want is sort of counterfeit stuff where somebody prints off 10,000 of these things.
Yeah, and
so
in.
Everybody says, you cannot deny me service. I did exactly what you wanted. And then, because I'm up in the middle of the night, I'm thinking, how very specific can I target it? You have to bring in a ticket stub.
Let me just say this, though.
You know, not a facsimile of a ticket stub, but a ticket stub.
The key to that working is coming up with a coupon that, if utilized, you're going to win.
Here. Yeah.
So you don't care if people are coming with fake ones, because as soon as they hand you the coupon, it's working for you guys. The radio thing.
What would it be, a pair of shoes? A tie?
The radio thing, you're paying for a lot of waste.
Yeah,
you're paying top dollar for a lot of waste. I have a suggestion that might work for you.
Email us.
You could employ the Littles in this regard. You could make a little volunteer army. And the Littles could canvass the neighborhood, leaving empty bags on people's doorsteps with a coupon that says, come to Chatter and fill this bag with food.
Yeah.
I think that could work.
Bag. Yeah. I have two thoughts. One, can you do geolocated, like, push ads?
Yeah, SEO is what you're talking. Search engine optimization.
There are ways that you can target advertising geographically.
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking. I believe in the product.
But
that's expensive.
Michael, as someone who lives in the city,
we want to get
with many dining options around you. Do you ever find yourself Googling restaurant near me? Or do you just feel like you know everywhere you would want to go?
I did when I lived downtown. Now that we have the baby, the first thing is, can we take the baby inside? And usually that's not a good time for us.
One thing that I still think you guys are not realizing,
pocket of D.C. has such a high concentration of schools and families that are basically gearing all of their dinner activities around kids. reach out to all of these area schools and say, we will give you heavy discounts for your teachers to come in. That bleeds into the families, and then they will be your repeat customers throughout the winter.
Or I know my kids' schools do some, now these are just one-offs, but they do some fundraiser deals with local restaurants where, like, a restaurant agrees to give 10% or, you know, some share of receipts that the restaurant deems reasonable. And in exchange, the school promotes, hey, everyone, it's chatter night. You know, come to chatter. They have a big community thing.
I think if people come here, they'll enjoy themselves and they'll come back.
I've got a surefire one.
What? What is this?
Chris Saliza.
Daiquiri night.
Dunking booth.
That is a can't miss.
I mean, that's gold. Well, yeah. You can set me up out here. You know, so people can see it. Just take a shot. And if you miss, you do the thing where the person can just run up and press the button and I fall in anyway.
No. Would you consider fighting a bear? You know? Mm-hmm.
No.
Bringing people in for that? Dewey the bear?
Yep. No.
Well,
yep. I'm in.
Did you guys arrive?
And I will come.
Did you arrive upon anything at this dinner that
How about you make chatter?
I told them last night, I'm going on the air tomorrow. I'm talking about all these things. They said, sure.
Make chatter vegan.
Don't want vegan.
Nailed it.
Don't want vegan.
What?
Don't want it. No.
We lose Gary.
Our feeling is if we get people in the door, they'll come back. All kidding aside, this is a, and I don't mean this as a way of diminishing it at all. I think this is a positive description, but this is a neighborhood place. I mean, that's what it's going to be.
Yes, it's a neighborhood bar.
So I think your instincts are correct to focus on
this area.
This very small radius around it, whatever you deem that to be. Well, you know, 1 square mile, 3 square miles, 5 square miles, whatever. 5 miles would seem like a lot.
You go as far up maybe as the Beltway, north.
And if there is a targeted way to reach, I mean, any marketing effort, there's going to be some amount of waste that you have to understand to live with. Yeah. Radio to me is going to be too high dollar for too much waste. I would look into something that gets into the houses of people.
Just get Kevin to talk about it.
Yes. Get in,
say, Kevin, for God's sake, talk about it.
And maybe you go on his show. Maybe you do that.
It's not that desperate.
Redskins at 8 with Tony.
I don't know. Has he talked about your 79 yet? Maybe you could go on.
Hey, Tone, long time, first time.
Do something that gets into the gets into this target's houses, whether it's that newspaper, whether it's a ValPak coupon or something.
Because the people that listen to this they cut a wide swath. They're not local.
But Tony, people today, it's not enough to just tell people you're here and, hey, check it out. People want the appearance of something for nothing.
A tie. Well, yes. Guys, potato chips.
Have you considered give away an elephant?
A duck and cover doll.
Duck and cover doll.
Duck and cover. Get away from the windows.
Thank you.
Take cover.
Await
further instructions.
I like the calm tone that duck has.
Yeah,
I find it very soothing.
It's a pilot tone.
Have you considered purchasing all the other restaurants in the area and thereby forcing people to come here?
Just going into them and loudly proclaiming you got food poisoning in them the last time you were there.
Okay.
This is that place.
So that's what that's what I've talked about. That's what the dinner was last night. It was fine. It was great.
What'd you have?
I had a steak. I wasn't hungry. I just had a small, very small steak.
Was your anxiety acting up about the restaurant? Is that why you
were
hungry?
The anxiety of having to pay for that dinner.
First of all, I thought you went to the Palm.
I went to the
Palm. So there's no very small steak. What, 9 ounce?
You know, no, whatever. I just...
All right, well, if you ate the whole thing, maybe that's why you were up all night.
I ate it.
Yeah.
Roger Goodell, I just wanted to mention this briefly. Roger Goodell got the extension that Jason Lockett Forrest said he was going to get 6 weeks ago. When we said, Jason, there's this report that Jerry Jones is leading a movement and all the owners are behind him. And he said, that's nonsense. This thing is done. He's going to get the extension. And what happened here was that Jerry Jones, who was a smart man, found a variety of media outlets, including the one that I work for, ESPN, and said, look, we shouldn't have Roger Goodell doing this. I've talked to a whole bunch of people, and there's a significant movement here, and we're gonna try and block this thing. And what he was doing was exaggerating his own support and spinning as many people as he could. He tried his best. And now he looks like he's being counted out, you know, by Mills Lane in the middle of the ring. And that's what I mean. Credit to the people who went with Jerry Jones because he was hand-feeding them this stuff. And credit to Locke and Fora, you know, for saying, look, I've been on this thing for a long time, and he's going to get it. And in fact, Jerry Jones had no support. He had none. Because the other owners looked at him and said, this is about Ezekiel Elliott with you.
Right.
What are you doing?
They were doing all right. Owners are doing all right.
If you're Jerry Jones and you want to oust Roger Goodell and you can't even get Robert Kraft to support you, so you got nothing. You got nothing. You fold the tent, you leave. We will take a break when we come back. Anne Hornaday will join us, and I know what you're thinking. You're thinking this is a Thursday, and if Anne Hornaday is going to join us, that means Tony's going to take Friday off. No, this is a better day for Anne. I'm not taking Friday off. Next Tuesday and Wednesday,
yes,
we're not doing this show because I'm going to be in New York City. But no, we're here Thursday, and we're here tomorrow, Friday, and I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Casper ad. You spend one-third of your life sleeping, so you should be comfortable. At Casper, mattresses are perfectly designed for humans, engineered to soothe and cradle your natural geometry. I like that phrase.
Mm, yeah.
Casper brand mattresses combine multiple supportive memory foams for a quality sleep surface with just the right amounts of both sink and bounce. With over 20,000 reviews and an average of 4.8 stars across Casper, Amazon, and Google, Casper is becoming the internet's favorite mattress. Casper mattresses offers affordable prices because Casper cuts out the middleman, sells directly to the consumer. Plus, there's a no-hassle return if you're not completely satisfied. You can be sure of your purchase with Casper's 100-night risk-free sleep-on-it trial. Start sleeping ahead of the curve with Casper, C-A-S-P-E-R. Get $50 towards any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/Tony and using Tony at checkout. Terms and conditions apply.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Is this Borracho Nono?
It could be.
I recognize this.
It could be.
Yes, it is.
Oh, my.
It is.
Here's what I know this is. This is Jim Viner and the incredible B3 band.
Yeah.
I don't know each song they've
done. Little ditty named Borracho Nono.
That's right. It is.
Very good. And they play in Anne Hornaday, who has three movies for us. And then, do I understand correctly that your top 10 list is now out and you can talk about it, or is it not yet out?
It has dropped.
What does that mean, it has dropped?
It's out.
Okay, good.
That's what the kids say now.
Is dropped good?
Yeah. All right, so
is Anne not in studio?
I thought she was great in studio.
I know.
Did you enjoy that? We enjoyed having you.
That was amazing. First of all, Kevin Sheehan, never ever follow Kevin Sheehan is what I learned.
Yes, there's that.
Ever do that. That was so much fun. I loved it. I loved seeing Jeannie and her husband and the gang and Gary and it was wonderful. Of course.
And Chris.
Oh, yeah, Chris.
And Barry the lead.
Yes.
No, okay. It was wonderful. I'm definitely going to come back.
Good.
As Eve Harrington would say, if you'll have me back.
Absolutely.
Always will.
Absolutely. Okay, here we go. Darkest Hour, which Nigel has seen and which Nigel loved. Gary Oldman getting a lot of Oscar buzz as Winston Churchill. This follows in the summer Dunkirk, which, I guess the big movies of the year are all British war movies, it seems.
Apparently.
How good is Darkest Hour?
It is that good. It is amazing. It's really great. It is, we tend to use the word Oscar bait as a pejorative, and this is a good example of Oscar bait at its best. It's like sometimes Oscar baity movies are good movies. You know, they're just like they want to be this kind of movie. It's burnished. It's handsome. It's a beautiful production. It's incredibly smartly written. I just thought the script is witty. It gets all of his wit and his kind of self-deprecating humor, and it really clearly lines up what kind of situation he was in politically when he took the position of prime minister and the pressure that was on. And obviously, Oldman's getting all this attention. He did, all I can think of are cliches, like, he disappears into the role or just channels Winston. He does all that. I mean, you really, like Nigel and I were talking about it, there are moments where you think you are watching Winston Churchill. It's that phenomenal. But I just want to shout out Ben Mendelsohn.
Oh, yes.
Who plays King George VI.
He's
and
fantastic.
I just thought he did a magnificent job. And so it's not just Oldman. Everybody's good in this movie. And it's wonderful. It's just, I can't
Can I make a Ben Mendelsohn plug? I have not seen this, but Ben Mendelsohn is in a show, in the first season of a show called Bloodline.
Exactly.
That also has Kyle Chandler from Friday Night Lights.
Right.
He is he's Australian, right, Anne?
Yes,
he is. Yeah. He was like a child star in Australia. But for my money, I watched Bloodlines, and even though I love everybody in it, especially Kyle Chandler, he really made that show.
Absolutely.
Like, the only time it was interesting is when he was in
Absolutely.
It. And then, if you think of what he's like in that show and watch him in this, you'll see what kind of range he has. He's incredible. But this is the movie, you know, like, where I'm always on the lookout for movies I can send anybody to.
Right.
And this is one of them. It's like, just go. It's like, you can take the kids, you can, you know, it's just a wonderful, wonderful movie.
So is it fair to ask you how it compares to Dunkirk? Or?
Yes. As a matter of fact, and you know, if we hit my top 10, you know, I yes, they're both great. I mean, we've been blessed with not only two, actually three great movies about Dunkirk this year. So it's a perfect complement to it. I mean, they both, they're so different. I mean, they look at the events through such different prisms that they're just, they're only good. You know, they're only additive. They don't take anything away from one another.
Okay, the next movie is Wonder Wheel. I have not seen this other than a 10-second clip, which I didn't know Woody Allen was involved in it, but just the clip, just what I saw, the physicality of it looked like Radio Days to me. And Radio Days is a great movie as far as I'm concerned. This has Kate Winslet, Jim Belushi, and Justin Timberlake. Good, very good, great, not good?
That last one.
Not good.
Not good, yeah.
Not good.
It would be that, yeah.
Okay.
We're going to file it under that head. Yeah, this is a... This is an amazing misfire.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. It's like, you know, like you mentioned, Radio Days. I mean, it references a lot of his other works, all of them better than this. You know, it's kind of like a bad mishmash of better movies. And just Jim Belushi gives probably one of the worst performances. I mean, and he's capable of being good.
Congratulations.
Like, I'm not putting him down, but I mean, it's such a mannered, you know, it's a family in the 1950s. They live at Coney Island. You know, it's kind of a Stanley Kowalski, Ralph Cramden character that he plays. Kate Winslet is his put-upon wife. She kind of turns into a Blanche DuBois, you know, another middle-aged lady going crazy, kind of a Blue Jasmine vibe, but just so over the top. And the story is hackneyed. You know, it feels cobbled together from a lot of things he's done before. I don't, you know, he's on this roll of doing one a year, and this is the movie where you're like, you know, maybe don't hold yourself to that. Like, you don't need to do one a year. Just why don't you just sort of pick and choose a little bit more carefully? Because this, I rarely say something like this, but I feel like this really is a movie that just didn't need to be made. So,
Does Justin Timberlake at least sing and dance at any point?
No, he doesn't. Oh. And actually, I think he's so gifted. I mean, you know, I've seen him be really, he can act. So I don't, like, I hate to kind of blame the actor, you know, and say, well, they gave a bad performance. It's like they're just in a poorly written role, you know.
And Woody Allen wrote it and directed it, I assume.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
And no good. Yeah. No good.
No, really. It's so poorly. I mean, like, the one, I guess, if you're just a diehard Kate Winslet fan and you want to watch her chew the scenery, that might be a reason to see it. Otherwise, I can't think of a good reason.
There's another movie called The Shape of Water, which I'm told is a movie about the Cold War. Sally Hawkins, Michael Shannon, who I know a little bit from TV, Octavia Spencer, who's a very good actress.
Mm-hmm.
Is this any good?
Richard Jenkins. Yeah, I mean, it's from Guillermo del Toro, who makes these incredibly imaginative. He's really into monsters and creatures and flights of imagination, and he is one of the best, I think, visual stylists that we have working right now. And for this, he kind of takes like a creature from the Black Lagoon theme. It's about a creature that some scientists, the government, finds in the Amazon in the 1960s, and they bring him back because they think that his powers have implications for the Cold War, and so they're keeping him in this secret facility that's very dank and very moody. And Sally Hawkins, the British actress, plays a cleaning woman who befriends this creature. And it becomes kind of an allegory about tolerance and about the other. And I did feel the allegory.
Oh, my God,
it's
this
very
sounds awful.
Sorry?
This sounds awful.
What, the movie?
Yes, it sounds awful. Well, what do you mean a creature? Like, what kind of creature?
He's like a sea creature.
Like a
you
platypus?
Know?
No, like a creature from the Black Lagoon.
He looks like the creature from the Black Lagoon.
Is he capable of speaking English?
Like an Aquaman situation.
Is he capable of betting against the spread, like Chuck Todd?
No,
I mean,
at one point. He doesn't speak, and she doesn't speak either. She's a mute.
This sounds better than I just said. Yeah.
Is it Danish subtitled?
No, it's a beautiful movie, but it's very, like, I think what you're picking up on is the weakness, which is the allegory is so thickly late on, and I just thought it was way too. And Shannon is the villain of the piece, which he often is.
He's
and
good.
It's so over the top. I mean, it's like, you know, you see everything coming down. Everybody's a symbol for something, and they all
sounds like
you know, there's one of everything, and I don't know. But again, a great central performance from Sally Hawkins, who's a fantastic actress, and I really do love Del
Toro. Best mute of the year.
I wouldn't count this as one of his best. So.
There is a great scene though where the creature and Gene Wilder get up on stage and sing "Putting on the Ritz." It's fantastic.
He's finally learned.
Why don't people realize in the middle of the movie this movie is going to stink? Let's do something fun.
Stink. Look, this movie's on a lot of time. Look, I'm an outlier on this. Most of my
it sounds like the squid and the whale
in the cricket racket. Love this movie, so you know, don't
the
go.
What is your top 10 in no particular order, or do you have an order?
Did have an order, but
let's count them down from 10.
Going in reverse order.
Yeah, count them down from 10. What's 10?
10 was Dunkirk, Darkest Hour, and a wonderful little movie called Their Finest, which was the first movie.
Oh, so you went. I see what you did there. You put three movies in there, so it's really your top 12.
Exactly.
Okay.
Fake news.
Good year for movies.
Yeah.
The next one was a ghost story, a really strange little surreal movie that David Lowery did this summer with Casey Affleck and Rooney Mara. Just a very ambitious experimental film, and I like seeing people take chances. Dawson City, Frozen Time, a fantastic documentary about a cache of turn-of-the-century films that were discovered in the Yukon. And Bill Morrison, the filmmaker, made kind of this beautiful, evocative essay film about the past and memory and capitalism. And
I thought it was a
Dawson's Creek documentary. Is there a Dawson's Creek documentary?
Now that interests me.
Yeah.
I don't want to wait.
Yeah.
Okay.
Number seven was Faces Places, another documentary by the great Agnes Varda.
Are you doing so you're mixing. This is what people do with food.
They're movies.
When they put the food on your plate and it touches. Yeah. I don't like when the meat touches the vegetables.
How dare you?
No. I don't like that.
How dare you mix stuff that could make us learn something with entertainment?
You have to think of it as a balance. What I go for every year is a balanced year. Okay. And so this is all of this. These are the movies that, to me, represented the great balance of the year.
What's six?
We got a little of everything. This is a wonderful essay documentary about Agnes Varda and an artist named J.R. who went through France photographing everyday people and creating these gorgeous monumental art installations from the photographs. And it's such a moving testament to art and
excuse me if
really
I pass
moving.
On I'm going to pass on this. What else?
Call Me by Your Name. I'm sure you've been hearing a lot about that. It's already won lots of critics' awards. We're going to talk about it next week.
Okay.
About a coming-of-age story, an erotic, romantic coming-of-age story set in Italy. It's just beautiful, sensuous, atmospheric. Very moving.
Is it an American movie or an Italian?
Yeah, I mean it's an American. I mean it's an international production.
Okay. Right.
Featuring Armie Hammer and Michael Stuhlbarg. It's expats in Italy, and it's just absolutely deliciously beautiful. Get Out. The horror movie.
I know you like that. I know you like that.
Love that.
Yeah.
The Big Sick, the beautiful little rom com.
That's a
summer
great
with Kumail Nanjiani.
Yes. Right.
Just adorable and wonderful. A little movie called The Post.
You've seen it.
It,
I'm going to see it on Saturday morning. I'm very excited about it.
Morning.
I mean, okay.
10:55.
10 o'clock.
Tip time.
10
a.m.
Okay, wow. Cool. Screening. There's a screening I was invited to.
Very
so I'm
nice.
Gonna, yeah, I'm going to go see that.
Humble brag.
I'll be very eager to hear what you think about it.
But you have it number three.
That is my number three.
Yeah, that's good.
You know what it is? Aside from my own love of the subject matter, it's a movie. It's like a good old-fashioned yarn, you know?
Okay.
It's just, and of course, it's Spielberg who just knows how to do it. And Streep and Hanks, everybody's got on their A game in this one, you know?
Okay. What's two? So.
Well, and don't tell me. I don't know if it's two or one, but Daddy's Home 2. Definitely.
Oh, wait a minute. Let me look.
It's definitely one of these.
What's two?
I'm just cross-referencing here.
Yeah.
Number two is Lady Bird.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, come on. How could you not
I'm
love
surprised
Lady?
That's not number one. I feel like that's number one on everyone's list. I'm interested to see what one is now.
Daddy's
Home, too.
My number one is
Jumanji. I think the new Jumanji.
We're in a video game.
Valerian, ladies and gentlemen. No, it's Mudbound. It's Mudbound, the great post-war story set in the American South. Dee Reese directs. I mean, it's an American
So those
epic.
Are both quiet movies, right?
Well, Mudbound and Lady they're quiet, Bird? But they're ambitious in their. You know, you don't have to be jumping up and down to have a lot of ambition, and a lot of technical and aesthetic, and just sophistication in terms of content. And I just think these are the strongest ones. So, there, I said it.
No, that's wonderful. So, I guess Wonder Wheel didn't make the top 10.
No.
Manchester by the Sea.
Nothing with Wonder. This is the year with everything was called Wonder something. And I would have put Wonder Woman. You know, Wonder Woman was
I know you like that.
I really loved it. I mean, yeah. I gave it a shout out in my intro because to me it just sort of symbolizes this whole year in such a great way.
So you want me to see Lady Bird and Mudbound. You want me to see those.
I would like for you to see those.
I will see those. I'll see the post.
I think you'll relate to those. And you're going to see the post. Did you see The Big Sick? Did you see The Big Sick?
I haven't yet.
The Big Sick is outstanding. That's a comedy,
right?
And funny.
It's a romantic.
Yes.
Who are the parents again, Anne? Is it
Holly Hunter and Ray Romano.
They're so good. Okay. Ray Romano is weirdly very good. I never really thought anything.
I want Allison Janney to be in every movie.
Oh, and that's
I
one
like
that
her.
Almost made my list, too. The one that she's in, I, Tonya, about Tonya Harding.
You like that a lot, right?
I like that a lot. I like that a lot. Yep. That's another one I want you to see. There's a lot I want you to see. Battle of the Sexes. I mean, that would have been up there. I love Battle of the Sexes.
Okay.
Nobody saw that movie. Anyway, we could go on and on. I'll tell you something.
All right. So
it was a good year.
Good. We'll talk to you next week. Thank you, Anne.
You betcha. Thank you.
And I should say that the podcast that Anne's involved in, At the Movies with Arch and Anne, will drop today, later today.
Fantastic. So. Fantastic. All right. Anne Hornaday, boys and girls, we will take a break. We'll come back with news. I am Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the SeatGeek ad because you have to buy a ticket to a movie. Buying tickets to sports and concerts and movies can be complicated and confusing, but there's a better way to buy, and that is with SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to every type of live event. Whether you're searching for a last-minute deal, planning a night out, or you need to find the perfect gift, SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. There's nothing quite like seeing your favorite team or musician in person, and SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for a great value. SeatGeek saves you time and money by searching multiple ticket sites to compare prices and find amazing deals. And to get you the most bang for your buck, SeatGeek grades every ticket based on value to help you immediately identify the best seats that fit your budget. Plus, every purchase is fully guaranteed, so you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. Make SeatGeek your go-to app for finding the best deals on every type of ticket, from sports and concerts to comedy and theater. And best of all, listeners to this high-quality podcast will get $20 off their first SeatGeek purchase. Just download the SeatGeek app, SeatGeek. Download that app. You enter the promo code Tony today. That is promo code Tony for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Blair St. Amand in
Never
Elbridge,
heard a
Maryland.
Pogo stick to start a song.
Sends this in. I'm thrilled that three of my band's Spork songs have made it the air over the past year. Each time I have my own personal David Aldridge moment when I think, hey, I know all the members of that band. However, and I can only blame
them?
Myself for this oversight. No need to reset the board, Nigel. I originally sent in all three songs in one email, which means the same Taco Bell joke I included in the email has been read on three separate occasions to introduce my songs. Therefore, I thought I'd send a new email with a new Spork song, which is called Pogo, and that references Pogo stick. To keep things fresh is Taco Bell's fine ingredients. I think you'll appreciate the dark undertones and meteoric or meteoric elements of this. Meteoric is so great. That's what's Jim Rome, right? Meteoric, he had a meteoric rise. Anyway, if you listen very carefully, you'll hear the same four chords played over and over in an attempt to make people jump up and down at our show. Michael, if people want to send in their music, how do they do it?
You can email your music into the show at jingles at tonykornheisershow.com.
And what are we selling today?
Promo code Bootsy. Johnny O is a great performance line for all of your golfing needs, and I recommend the Albatross golf shirt along with the Birdie golf shirt.
An Albatross is very, very
you want
rare.
That.
Yeah, that's a double eagle.
And an update from the TK Show shop. Rob Kolpian and I are working really hard to get the anti-saliza line online.
Can't wait for the AC
It's really
line.
Tough to try and find the perfect soft blend of cotton for these muscle tees.
Yeah. Shouldn't we get something in lace for that?
And apparently it's like a scratch and sniff shirt, so it smells like Malibu rum.
Yeah. That smell is delicious.
Fully interactive.
It's the white bottle that makes it.
What have we
Can't
got?
Wait for the anti-saliza line.
What have we got?
Mr. Tony, we will start off in the world of politics. Al Franken facing some fresh allegations of sexual misconduct.
When he was a comedian.
When he was a comedian, yes.
Not when he was a senator, when he was a comedian.
And some fresh voices.
One of the allegations of groping at the Minnesota State Fair, I believe, when he was a senator.
Yes, that's correct.
I think
guess that's a distinction that matters to you, since you make it.
Yeah.
Well, okay. No, I mean, I don't, yeah, I don't see,
I'm not
I
sure.
mean, bad behavior is bad behavior.
Yeah,
okay.
I mean, wrong is wrong.
And he's out.
Well, he's out.
He's going to step down?
Yeah. I mean, okay. I don't well, know that, but
well, he has not,
basically. Yeah,
I said, what do you think?
Last night he said, I'm still considering.
He has betrust reports, correct use of that term, that have claimed that. Or is that like Maturic?
One.
Like Minnesota Public
Radio,
I think.
Minnesota Public Radio reported it that he one Democrat with knowledge said he was stepping aside. He immediately pushed back on Twitter and said, no, I'm not. I haven't made a decision yet. Look, more than two dozen of his Democratic colleagues came out in the space of 4 hours yesterday saying get
out.
I don't know how you return to that. Yeah. They're not me. When you guys told me don't ever come back, I just kept showing up.
Right.
But it's harder for him. I'd be stunned if he didn't.
An announcement from him expected later today. So by the time you hear this,
it could have been done.
Right. Yes,
exactly.
Ben McAdoo type situation.
Yes, yeah. The Thomas Fire is the known as the, that's what's been the fire out in Los Angeles.
There are four different fires. I know. I got on the phone
yesterday. Five, if you count LeVar Ball.
Yeah, I got on the phone yesterday with Peter Melman with Jared Levine. I was thinking about calling Greg, you know, and just to find out are you safe?
Doing?
How are your houses? How are your houses? Because this is in Los Angeles proper now. This
Absolutely.
Is not just in the hills.
Moving toward Bel Air.
Yeah.
Have you seen the videos, Tony, of people commuting? Oh, my God. It's terrifying.
It's exactly right.
It looks like something out of a movie.
Totally terrifying.
Yeah.
Totally terrifying. You wish them all the best.
Yeah. But they say there's weather conditions fueling
bad.
The fires, the forecast intensity. So there's
bad.
80-mile-an-hour winds last night.
Bad.
That stuff's spreading like wildfire.
Yeah. It looks like Tennessee has finally gotten a coach. They offer the head coaching job to Alabama defensive coordinator Jeremy Pruitt.
Jeremy Pruitt takes this job at Tennessee. That means coaches at Georgia, Texas A&M, Tennessee, and South Carolina, all within the SEC. These coaches have all been assistants to Nick Saban. This is the only people you hire are people who worked for Nick Saban in the hope that you can beat Nick Saban. It's amazing to me. Because you can't beat them.
I'm looking at a list. I didn't look real hard, but I'm looking at a list from 2016. More than 10 former Saban assistant coaches have gone on to serve as head coaches in either the pros or collegiate, and more than 20 of coordinators. I mean,
that's amazing.
He's got a serious tree.
He knows what he's doing, and they're making these hires within his own conference.
So Jimbo is a Saban guy?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yes, at LSU. Yes.
Okay.
And I think if you're him, not Jimbo, but Nick, you're okay with these guys. And
I feel proud.
But don't you also feel like if you were the mentor, you'd be like, I got it. You know, you're not scared of any guy who you taught
they
how to do it.
They learned from you,
but
so theoretically, you know it better.
I mean, look, I obviously don't like Nick Saban. I don't like the way he conducts himself. But I think in his private moments, even his public moments, he's got to feel very proud of this. Very proud.
Looks like Eli Manning is back as a starting quarterback for the New York
Giants. Start a new streak.
Exactly. Interim head coach Steve Spagnuolo announced the decision yesterday.
Well, he ran it by John Mara. John Mara is the villain in this piece. John Mara, the owner, is the villain. He could have stopped this from happening. Now he's scrambling to make sure that fans don't show up wearing Manning jerseys all the time and somebody else is out there. But in fact, the guiding intelligence in this would be to put Davis Webb out there and see if you had anything.
Yes.
Because Eli Manning's not going to come
back.
Streak's
dead, and Eli
Manning's
New York is over.
Father, Archie Manning, said they broke his heart. I don't know.
He's gone from there, right?
I don't know. I think he
is.
I don't know that you repair that. I don't know that you do.
If he's
he seems like a kind person. I don't know that you repair that.
If he's gone, would you expect him to probably go down to Jacksonville to be reunited with
Tom Coughlin? That's certainly a reasonable place. Denver is certainly a reasonable place where his brother was.
That's true.
They got no quarterback.
No, they don't. They don't. They're awful
this place
year.
May have no quarterback.
That's
right. Going to have no quarterback. Well, so, Colt McCoy.
That would be an interesting development.
Yeah. So.
Don't call it a comeback. Rafael Palmeiro says there's no doubt that he can make it back to Major League Baseball at age 53. And the last time he played was in 2005.
You understand why he's doing this. Rafael Palmeiro desperately wants to be in the Hall
HOF,
of Fame.
Baby.
If he plays one game, it resets his Hall of Fame clock. So he gets 5 more years from the regular voting and I think 10 more years in some other, supplemental voting. His numbers are good enough. He's got 500 homers and 3,000 hits. And, everybody other than Barry Bonds who's got that is in the Hall of Fame. There's only 4 guys. There's only 4 other people who had that.
Yeah.
So that's what he wants. Ichiro, who's a better hitter than Palmeiro. Palmeiro's a great hitter. Ichiro's one of the 5 best hitters of all time. He can still get his bat on the ball, But his numbers go down and down and down. He's 44. He's 9 years younger than Palmeiro, and he plays all the time. So you tell me how Palmeiro's going to make a team. Except someone does him a favor.
Well, like a Bill Vett kind of thing.
Yes.
You know, I mean, there's no, we don't think there's any chance he actually gets on the field, right?
No chance.
No way. And
I think Baltimore could put him out there.
Oh, really?
No way.
Yeah.
And by the way, just to remind folks, this was his testimony at a congressional hearing about steroids. Let me start by telling you this. I have never used steroids.
Wagged his finger at
people. Period. Yeah. I don't have to say any more clearly than that. Never.
Dikembe Mutombo. Wagged finger.
And then months
wagged.
Later, he tested positive and was the first
place. Tested positive.
Wow. Yeah. How did that happen?
So, yeah. Some melancholy at me trails, Mr. Tony. A couple. One, I'll get to this one first because I don't think you were aware of this. The French Elvis.
Yes.
Johnny Halliday passed away at the age of 74.
I thought he was older.
Yeah, I thought he was.
I thought he was significantly older than that. I thought he was around 80.
Yeah, was very popular singer. And any sort of popular American song from like the 60s or 50s, he did it in French.
In French, and it was unlistenable. I mean, if you were an American,
yeah,
it was unlistenable.
So did he do Michelle in English then?
Yeah, he did. As an audience player.
Unlistenable. Johnny
and Christine Keeler has passed away.
So now we're coming to the history lesson of the day.
Have a seat on Mr. Tony's
Christine
lap.
Christine Keeler.
Well, maybe not on his lap.
Wonderful obituary by Matt Schudel or Schudel, and I don't know how he pronounces
Schudel.
It. Schudel. Christine Keeler was the central figure. Christine Keeler and her friend Mandy Rice Davies were British showgirls, in air quotes, showgirls. And they were involved in some very, very high profile affairs. Christine Keeler with John Profumo, who was a deputy minister in the British government. And while she was with him, she was also with a Soviet spy. Hmm. And when this thing blew up, it blowed up real good.
Yeah, real good.
Real good. And Christine Keeler was, in a way, not that dissimilar from Monica Lewinsky. Christine Keeler could never escape this, even so much as not trying to change her. Well, she adopted the name of C.M. Sloan. She struggled to find work in advertising in a school cafeteria as a receptionist. She told the Observer in 2001, I mean, it's been a misery for me living with Christine Keeler. Even a criminal has the right to a new life, but they made sure I did not have that. They just didn't stop calling me a prostitute forever and ever and ever and ever. How can anyone live with that? I took on the sins of everybody, of a generation, really.
Wow.
I find her, much as I find Monica Lewinsky, a totally sympathetic figure in terms of history. There is a great line in here, and it talked, Christine Keeler was a 19-year-old girl, and John Profumo was 46 years old. Listen to this. This is great writing. He and Miss Keeler met in 1961 when she was taking a dip in a swimming pool at the estate of a British lord. He was 46, married and wearing a dinner jacket. She was 19, free-spirited, and wearing a smile. It's a great line.
That's brilliant.
I did this for a living. That's a great line. Over the years, she said she had liaisons with Ringo Starr and Warren Beatty and Peter Lawford and George Peppard. She had a couple of marriages. A survivor includes a son who announced that, that his mom had died.
George Peppard doesn't deserve that company.
Well, with Warren Beatty.
Are you familiar with the 1989 film Scandal?
Is that about
the perfume?
Yes. It's about
affair.
This.
Yeah, I never saw it.
Yeah, this is a history lesson. This was Cold War stuff. When you look at like the great show, The Americans, this is the kind of thing that fits right in with that, except it happened in England. And I thank you for giving me the time to do that.
Absolutely.
Anything else, or are we good?
No, I do have one more story, and this is straight for Mr. Saliza. I'll just read the headline in the Washington Post. Don't read this article if you're afraid of a giant snake three times your size.
Yep.
So a snake hunter by the name of Jason Leon.
What is snake hunter?
Wait, I mean, what is the compensation for that kind of thing?
That's a curious question. That's a great question.
Is he a hunter?
All right, well,
snake hunter. Paid in skins.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's what I do. It's what my family does. We're a family of snake hunters.
It's
true.
Long tradition of snake hunters.
The Burmese python, over 17 feet long, 130 pounds. Over seven. Now that's, you know, that's a big snake.
It is.
With more rows of sharp teeth than you ever care to imagine. He caught it. Now you said, how much does he get paid for this? This is the real scam here, because he's getting taken for it.
Golden Corral. He gets the Golden Corral once.
No, he gets paid. I'm trying to find the exact rate here.
$5 a foot.
No, it's $50 for the first 4 feet, and an extra $25 for each foot past that. Oh,
that's
which makes
only
three,
$75 for the last 3 feet.
It's called
it's
the Odin
three,
scale.
$375 for killing a beast that would kill just about anything.
Right.
So it seems to me he should.
Did he kill it or capture it?
No, he killed it.
Oh.
I believe he killed
it. He killed it. That's what people say about him as a snake hunter.
He captured
it. Kills it.
And this is, of course, a precursor to the great python hunt that they have down in the Everglades, which I think the Tony Kornheiser show is considering going down and broadcasting live for that.
That would be great fun.
No, thank you.
All right, we're good.
No Binghamton update?
Binghamton wins last night. They beat Army.
Oh, they won that
Binghamton
game.
Binghamton wins last night at home.
4-0
at the Dr. Biley Court.
Patriot League.
Yeah, we've undefeated on Biley Court.
We're 4-0.
You don't come to Biley Court.
You do
it's
not
an easy win.
Now, on Saturday, Binghamton is at Loyola of Maryland. I have directions. I don't know if I have the desire.
Will you
no,
be honored?
Go.
Well, wait a minute.
No, I want to go.
You're going to go to the screening of The Post, and then you're going to go to the game?
Yeah.
That's wow.
A big day. Yeah, it's a very big day. I don't know if I can do all that. And no one wants to go with me to the Binghamton game.
Hey, Tone, any interest in
coming
with me?
You're invited. I'd like you to go.
Do you want to take the kid instead?
No.
You want to? I've got an extra tough seat tonight. Georgetown against 1-7 Howard. You interested in?
Oh, we should point out
that's actually going to raise their strength of schedule.
Binghamton
can't go any lower.
Does have a better strength of schedule
than Georgetown?
far better.
Not even close.
Yeah.
But Georgetown will get Syracuse, and that will change. That will change it. All right. We're out of here. We'll come back with Chuck Todd.
That's right.
Old Guy Radio and Chuck Todd's Picks. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Omaha Steaks Read. If you're having trouble finding something for a gift from your for your friends, this is perfect. You avoid the malls. You avoid the crowds. You get the Omaha Steaks. Let me tell you about them and how for only $49.99, you can get a family gift pack. You go to omahasteaks.com. You enter the promo code TonyK in the search bar. You get 75% off the regular price. This stuff is everybody here has had it. Everybody here endorses this.
Love it.
Omaha Steaks is giving an exclusive savings to my listeners, this high-quality podcast. Listen to everything you will get for less than $50. 2 filet mignons, 2 top sirloins, 2 boneless pork chops, 4 boneless chicken breasts, 4 kielbasa sausages, 4 burgers, 4 potatoes au gratin, 4 caramel apple tartlets, a packet of Omaha Steak seasoning, and 4 additional kielbasa sausages for free.
Man.
This is so much less money than I spent last night.
so much more food.
Go to omahasteaks.com. Enter my code TonyK in the search bar. Get a 75% savings. It's the gift that's guaranteed to be a hit.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
The fire. This is Crosby, Stills, and Nash off the first album of the supergroup that was formed 50 years ago today. Graham Nash made the announcement he was leaving the Hollies, right?
That's right.
And so it's David Crosby of the Birds, Stephen Stills of Buffalo Springfield, and Graham Nash of the Hollies. This is a great album. They later added Neil Young, and it was still good, but not as good as this. You have critical commentary on
it. Yes, I'll tell the story of how this song came to be. Graham Nash said, well, it's an ordinary moment. It happened. What happened is that Joni Mitchell and I don't know whether you know anything about L.A., but on Ventura Boulevard in the Valley.
Which is now burning.
There's a very, yes, it is. There's a very famous deli called Art's Deli. We'd been to breakfast there, and we were going to Joan's car, and we passed an antique store. We're looking in the window, and she saw a very beautiful vase that she wanted to buy. I persuaded her to buy this vase. It wasn't very expensive, and we took it home. It was a very gray, kind of sleety, drizzly L.A. morning. We got to the house in Laurel Canyon. I said, got through the front door and said, you know what? I'll light a fire. Why don't you put some flowers in that vase that you just bought?
And 10 seconds later.
Boom.
While she was in the garden getting flowers, she wasn't at a piano. I was. And an hour later, I had written art.
And that's how it works. If you're good. If you're good. The rest of us sit there and we hit the piano. And go, what am I going
to
do?
I have a piano.
Yeah.
Right.
Chuck Todd joins us now, the host of Meet the Press. It's a great thrill for us all the time that he picks games against the spread. There are great games. Now, we're deep into the season, so there's a list of great games. Chuck was 3-3-1 last week for 43-47-2. And again, as happens all the time, you can see Mount 500 in front of you.
Yeah, I feel like I'm grinding. By the way, there are some songs where the beginning is just a perfect beginning.
Yeah.
And that's one of those songs.
Absolutely.
I get chills when I hear the start of that song. That's one of those songs, I don't want to hear it from the middle. I gotta start it from the beginning. There's something about it.
It's a great tune. It is a great tune. And I think it surprised a lot of people that Graham Nash ended up with these two Yanks. I think it did. All right, you ready for the games? Because there's the list of games other than the Redskin game is really good.
It is. I can't wait. I've even, as Nigel knows, I've even got a Star Wars reference.
Yes.
You know, by the way, your best bet last week was the push game. It was the Giants.
Yeah.
Remarkable.
Yeah, I know.
Remarkable.
I know. And the thing is, I wasn't wrong if you watched the damn game.
No, you were not.
It was like, I mean, the Raiders, it was a pathetic game, but anyway.
All right, New Orleans goes to Atlanta. Atlanta just lost at home to Minnesota, scoring only 9 points. Did not get a touchdown. New Orleans on the road at Atlanta is favored by 1.5. I'm leery of this game. What are you going to do?
I am too, but I'm starting to wonder, is this now, is it, was last week the end of the run for the Falcons?
Right.
Right. I thought last week was their rally around, desperation. They
I
win
thought
that
they'd
one.
Win.
They get back in the playoffs. Because of last week's loss, I'm going to go with New Orleans. I'm going to see that they put Atlanta away. And then that's it, right? If Atlanta, I mean,
it's over.
They can still make the playoffs, but it's probably over.
No, it's over. They won't make the playoffs. They won't.
Yeah, I know it's a must-win for them, and you know what? It feels like they shouldn't make the playoffs. Give me New Orleans.
Okay. Seattle, which is Seattle and Baltimore are two teams that, as the season wears down, often get better. Seattle is at Jacksonville. I cannot believe this. If you had ever told me that Seattle was going to get 2.5 at Jacksonville, I would be stunned. Jacksonville has a very, very good defense, a great lead running back, a dicey quarterback. Seattle has a lot of their big defensive players out and an MVP candidate, a quarterback in Russell Wilson. Seattle getting 2.5, but traveling cross country.
It's a trap. This is my Admiral Akbar game. It's a trap.
Right.
It's a trap. I mean, they're begging you to take Seattle.
Yes.
Right? They are begging you to take Seattle. Give me Jacksonville to come.
Oh.
It's Seattle. This is a
Todd's
classic.
A sharp.
That's sharp.
Very no, sharp this play. Is a classic, like the Seahawks. They win their, you know, they win out at home. Now they have to travel, you know. And this is a type of game that they do lay an egg. This is a classic Seahawks loss, isn't
okay.
it?
I love Blake Bortles, oh, Chuck Todd.
Also known as the Kornheiser Bowl, the Seattle to Jacksonville travel.
Oh, gosh, nightmare.
It's the farthest you can go.
It is the farthest you can go, right?
Well, Miami.
Miami, Miami yeah. would be
Miami
a little bit farther.
To, but Miami to Seattle is slightly farther.
Slightly.
Yeah.
Oakland is at Kansas City. Andy Reid, the team has collapsed. Andy Reid has now suspended an all-pro defensive back. Oakland is getting 4 at Kansas City. This is for first place. Kansas City has lost 6 of 7, and though Oakland beat the Giants, they did not look good in beating the Giants. Mm-hmm. These are both very disappointing teams. Where are you going on this one?
All right. Maybe Gary can help me with. Are both Cooper and Crabtree still out?
I don't know, but I can check that for you.
I mean, I know. I think Crabtree is 2 games, right? For sure.
That's correct.
I thought it was reduced to one.
I thought it was as well.
I think it's reduced. I think he's eligible.
Okay. And Cooper was hurt, I thought, right?
Yeah, I'm checking their injury report right now.
Look, the Raiders don't look like they can score points. And, you know, it wasn't Alex Smith's fault.
No, he had 4 touchdown passes.
I mean, you know, he looked good.
Cooper did not practice yesterday. That's the latest info we have. So.
Give me the Chiefs because I don't know how the Raiders score. Like, the Jets have been putting up points. So them scoring 38 points, you know, at least they had been. That was an offensive. This Raider offense looks like it's sputtering badly now.
I'm just surprised they're getting 4. 4 is a lot. 4 is a lot. So anyway, okay, 4. Here's another great game: Minnesota at Carolina. Carolina lost last week. Minnesota continues to win. Minnesota road favorite -2.5 at Carolina, and this could be Carolina's last chance. Could be. I don't know.
Well, Carolina's 8-4.
Okay, so they're good. They're good. They're still good.
Yeah, these are 2 playoff teams. The question is, one's going to be a division winner and one's going to be a wild card. Well, Minnesota's pretty much locked up that division, right?
Yes, it
correct.
Looks like
4-game lead with 4 to go.
I can tell you this. I will bet this game, but only the total. This is, you know, this game is going to be like a 15-12.
Yeah, this is an under. This is an under game.
This is a total under game. I have not gotten either one of these 2 teams right, I feel like, all year. I don't know if you're doing next-gen stats for my picks. I mean, I know you guys are thinking, you know, but...
We are.
I've
never heard that, of course.
We're not sharing them with you.
Exactly. It's super analytics here, Tony, where you find out. I don't know if I've ever picked Carolina correctly. Like either four.
They're hard to get a handle on.
And I think I've struggled with Minnesota too. So give me Carolina at home just because they're at home. I mean, okay. There's very similar teams.
Chuck, that total and what seems to me an oddly high 41 currently. Because I'm with you. That game has, you know, 18-15 written all over it.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's going to be kind of cold, right? It's
going to
be chilly on the
Mid-Atlantic. Yeah, absolutely. I'd have to check with Kip. But, 40. Yes, Carolina shouldn't be balmy.
Philadelphia is at the Rams. Philadelphia, I think, stayed out in the West Coast. Philadelphia lost.
Game of the day.
Yeah, they lost last week. You know, this could be this may be a big game for Philadelphia. Philadelphia is getting 2.5. Philadelphia was the best team in the NFL, and they're getting 2.5 at the Rams. Who you got?
First of all, I assume that this is I'm slightly hesitant on this game because I think these wildfires are going to have an impact on players, are going to have an impact on fans.
Well, it's already impacted the Rams who walked through yesterday instead of their normal practice.
Are they? I have not read this morning. I got to think they're thinking about moving this game north. Are they not?
I don't know.
I haven't seen anything to that effect yet.
Natural disasters aside, the Rams seem like they're rolling. I like the Rams running game better than I like Carson Wentz, and I love Carson Wentz. So give me the Rams.
Gurley has been outstanding this year. He says as a member of my fantasy
team. The game as of last night, they're saying is safe for now. It's 30 miles southeast of L.A., so it's a good distance from the fires currently.
The Baltimore Ravens, a team that gets hot late, is at Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh was involved in that brawl with Cincinnati last week. Pittsburgh has lost Juju Smith-Schuster, right? That was an upheld suspension. Baltimore's getting 5.5. That's a pretty big number. Pittsburgh's a better team, but 5.5's a pretty big number. What do you think?
It is, and I think it's too much. That's too high of a number, so give me the Ravens in an ugly game.
Okay. And finally,
I mean, there's no other way they play.
Washington is getting 6 at the L.A. Chargers. They're in Carson, small stadium. I don't know if that's affected by the fires. The L.A. Chargers are good lately, really good lately. Washington all the way across the country, I don't know. I don't know what they've got, but they're getting 6.
I assume it's over for the Redskins. I feel like they're mailing it in. Maybe I'm wrong. 6 is a big number, but I feel like this is the week that seasons end.
Yeah.
And then that we sort of separate things. So give me the Chargers.
I would agree with that one.
Yep.
Cover that.
I would agree with that one this time. We'll see. Okay. All right, Chuck, do you
here's my big fear. You know, the Packers play the Browns this week. And when you're at the end of the season, you don't want to be the team that loses. You know the Browns are going to win. A game.
Why?
They're 1-27.
No, Wilbon believes they'll beat the Bears.
They're going to win a game. And Aaron Rodgers comes back next week.
That's right.
The Packers have this vision of getting into the playoffs. My big fear is them somehow blowing this game against Cleveland the week before Aaron Rodgers comes back and then blowing their chances for the playoffs.
That would be it. That would be it. They have to win out, and they're not going to win out with Brett Hundley. They're not.
By the way, I should give you 2 La Cheeserie updates.
Yes,
of course. I was in Cleveland earlier this week at the JCC Book Festival.
Uh-huh.
Double La Cheeserie.
Fantastic.
From the audience. And by the way, maybe the best corned beef that I have had in years in Cleveland at a place called Slimans.
Spell
and
it.
It was unbelievable corned beef. You know you can't get good corned beef in D.C.
No.
I don't think it exists.
No, it's not. It doesn't.
This place, Slimans, and more importantly, it's the first Jewish deli that looked like a sports bar.
Slimans?
Finally, it's called Slimans.
It's not the best name.
Sports bar deli.
Was it worth the mile walk?
Yes, it was.
Fantastic.
It was a little cold coming back, but it was worth it.
Thank you, Chuck.
It was worth it.
All right, guys.
Interesting you put those names. I mean, we had a lot of restaurant Slimans. Talk around here that you would put Slimans.
Garbage time.
M-A-N-S.
If we gave you Chuck Todd, we'd give you enough. We give you more. We give you the monkey.
See the monkey, he's scratch scratching, watching his iPad, smoking and laughing, hanging with Bud Grant, tap, tap, tapping on his purple attaché. Nigel's going to the zoo. Reginald's got the bikes by two. Sometimes he throws poo. And he's had too much Johnny Walker Blues.
So you've talked
God,
to
that song
you've
is
talked
good.
To Nigel.
It is very good. Yes, Robert Berg with that outstanding song.
Talked to Reginald.
Yes, I did. I went down to the zoo last night, and it was a very festive atmosphere. Rehearsal going on, full rehearsal for a performance of The Sound of Music that Reginald puts on. You know, he put on a live performance every year at the National Zoo. He's playing Captain Von Trapp. There's an ocelot named Shirley.
An ocelot.
Yes,
ocelot.
Named Shirley, who's going to play Maria.
Yeah.
Apparently, they did Equus last year to rave reviews.
The hills
so.
Are alive.
Yes.
With the sound.
Yes. So head on down. To the National Zoo for that live performance.
I thought they were doing SpongeBob.
I'm going to be in the Nutcracker next week.
You are?
Next Wednesday night. I'm going to do a walk-on in the Nutcracker.
Buried news.
As in the role of?
Well, just I'm a crowd. I'm in the crowd.
Yeah.
I'm just in the crowd.
Cracking nuts.
Do
what do you want?
Facing the crowd?
Yeah, essentially.
Are you the Sugar Plum Fairy?
I don't think so. I don't know. I'd have to talk to Lou Reed.
So the first game we
old
gave...
Old rock and roll reference.
The first game we gave Reginald was Seattle getting 2.5 at Jacksonville. And he showed me some grainy video of him getting thrown out of a Waffle House in downtown Jacksonville while he was wearing a T-shirt that said, "What's that smell?"
Oh, so
I don't think he's a big fan of Jacksonville. Right. He will take
Seattle
and get the 2.5. Right. The next game we gave him, and it's not going to be a big surprise to you guys.
Vikings?
Minnesota getting 2.5 at Carolina. And this was great. This was a photograph of him and Bud Grant cooking on the grill in late January in Minnesota outside, snow falling all around.
Sleeveless?
Oh, both of them, no shirts on whatsoever. No.
Was Putin there?
Yeah.
Putin was riding in on a horse.
He was on the horse. Are these photos Reginald has, are they Polaroids?
Some of them are Polaroids in like a photo album. Some of them are on his iPad. I mean, he's a multimedia genius. Okay. He really is. So, yes, he'll take Minnesota and take the 2.5. And the last game we gave him was, of course, Washington getting 6 at the Chargers. And this was a headline from a newspaper and a picture of him and George Allen driving together in the Paris to Dakar rally.
He's going to take the Redskins?
He's going to take
the
Redskins.
Wait, so he's going to take 3 road teams?
Yes. It's a crazy monkey.
2 road dogs.
Wow.
He loves the road dogs.
I must say, the Redskins are pretty good when it doesn't matter.
That's right.
They're not dead yet, technically, but for all intents and purposes, they are. So I would not that would not surprise me. See, the Redskins have a
like worth
grand
home
showing.
Runs when the Nats are down 15 runs.
Let me take a break right here. We will come back with email and jingles. I am Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show. The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Here comes Tony's mailbag. Ah, forget it. Eat it, Saliza.
What?
Yeah.
This is from Ricky Herb in Barnegat, New Jersey. I don't hate Saliza. In fact, Mondays and Thursdays are my favorite shows. I just love his reaction to the hate. And excuse my dog, Moyer. Yes, after the great Phillies Mariners, Jamie Moyer, barking
and
in the
Oriole.
Background. He was saying hi to Chessie. One other thing you can tell Dave Brown in Charlottesville to eat it. Thanks, I'll hang up. Before we get into the mailbag, let me say thank you to Washington Post movie critic Ann Hornaday, to meet the press host, Chuck Todd. I love the fact that he picks against the spread and is an important person. I'd also like to thank the sponsors today, SeatGeek, Omaha Steaks, and Casper Mattresses. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of The Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play. If you listen through iTunes, please leave us a review. We got this lovely email from Andrew from Maine, who was here and came to Chatter and said, P.S., you guys should have a secret menu at Chatter. For example, ordering the breakfast potatoes Jeff Ma style would mean you'd obviously want them browned, since he picks the browns every single week. Carl in Oswego, New York, where it is probably snowing now.
SUNY Oswego, baby.
It's probably snowing.
It's supposed to snow in Mississippi.
Dear Dr. Mr. Tony, like Luke Russert, I too often listen to the podcast at night to help me fall asleep. Thank you for preventing our insomnia. Keep up the good work. Hashtag no offense. From Scott. Dear Tony, Scott Anderson, I wanted to share the news of a new little Alexander Stephen Anderson, born on Tuesday, November 28th. He is a big boy. He weighed 9 pounds, 14 ounces at birth.
Dang.
21 inches, 21 three-quarter inches tall. That's bigger than Bootsy.
Bigger than Bootsy.
Two-gapper.
We expect him to be walking in about 2 months. Alex was born at Sibley Hospital in D.C., which is at most a 10-minute drive from Chatter.
Try the Chateaubriand there. It's
fantastic.
Yeah,
I tried to convince the woman to whom I'm related by marriage to take Alex to Chatter for a birthday bowl of Wilbon chili. She said she probably needed to master feeding first. Alex is our second masculine child. He has a 16-month-old big brother named Eric, who has the numerically advantageous birthday of 7-16-16. Mm-hmm. As you can tell, we're going through a lot of diapers in the Anderson household right now. Have you considered getting Pampers as a podcast sponsor? A Tony K discount code for a free box of Pampers Cruisers would be really helpful right now. Or maybe Michael and Bootsy would like to join some ordinary guys and buy a diaper factory in Germany.
I would if Michael and Sons wasn't already taken.
Ben Danner, Southport, North Carolina. Wednesday morning, my dog and I were traveling to the vet's office while listening to Kip Sherman's, it's Kip Sheeman, 2017 winter weather forecast. By the way, all future members of Kip in this email come to you courtesy of Under Armour. While crossing the Cape Fear Bridge into Wilmington, we encountered a gentleman in a pickup truck proudly displaying a TK sticker. This being my first confirmed sighting of a fellow little in the wild, I immediately gave the TK salute. Since my salute went unreturned, I must assume it was either unseen or mistaken as a sign of anger from a random angry motorist. In their defense, I myself could not be positively identified as a little, since I cannot in good conscience bring myself to place my TK sticker on the family Subaru, which, by the way, sports both a sticker from my daughter's travel soccer team and a vanity plate. So to the little who was crossing the Cape Fear Memorial Bridge at approximately 10:30 a.m. on Wednesday, until our paths cross again, please accept the heartfelt lecheesery.
You know what's great about Subarus, Tony? I think I've mentioned this before. You don't need gas. You just go on their owner's sanctimony.
Yes, right. Stephen Mostow writes,
coming from you.
Will you be attending the Peter Yarrow show tonight in Bethesda? Did Mr. Yarrow stay with you last night? No, or did he maybe fall asleep in your backyard, or maybe just stayed in the little house? I don't know. Inquiring minds want to know. So he's at December, when is this? This is supposedly, 12-7. Peter
Today.
Yarrow.
Be tonight.
Peter, Paul, and Mary, well, without Paul and Mary, just Peter. Wow. Mark from Australia. Hi, Dr. Tony. I'm a little from Queensland, Australia. I was turned on to the show from watching you on PTI. I want to thank you for the hours of content you and the gang provide, with the only prize being having to listen to Malibu's Saliza. Hashtag almost worth it. I wanted to shout out to Michael for his troll toll reference on yesterday's show. If you're unfamiliar with this reference, I strongly suggest you check out the greatly underrated piece of American musical theater, The Nightman Cometh. You can thank me later. My first daughter, born 7-16-17, already rolling over and crawling. Eat it, Bootsy. Is Bootsy rolling over?
Bootsy is rolling over and sitting up, propping himself up, and getting ready to cry.
I remember this when my kids were little, and Kim would bring back the reports of what other kids were doing. I was like, I'm pretty sure in 8 to 40 years, they're all going to be walking and wiping their own butts.
Yeah.
You know?
Calm Real in Denver, Colorado. While hydrating myself last night at my local for-profit drinking establishment, the Caps Blackhawks game came on the TV. My first thought when Barry Trotz appeared on screen was not, there's one of the greatest NHL coaches of all time, but the infamous jingle, Trotz, 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 pounding rhythm through my brain. A shout out to Joe Arrow and all the jinglers for your smart and funny talents. If you're out on your bike tonight, everyone, as always, do wear white. Thank you so much for coming.
He's just going to have to suck on it and like it.
change my sheets tonight. And uh-oh, here we go. Up and down, spin me round. Uh-oh, here we go. Pogo. Uh-oh, here we go. Up and down, spin me round. Uh-oh, here we go. Pogo. I guess it's time that I'll stop.